be here tonight for sure. It's been a couple of years since I've been here in Lima, and it's great to be back. Super, super thankful for, is this thing, can I bend this thing? This is like right in my, not that I have much peripheral, but that was like really buggy. You guys can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Just super excited to be here. Marshall said, by God's grace, you know, I love the way the Lord works. Anytime, anywhere I've ever had the opportunity to share the word with somebody, to maybe help them become a Christian, I just realized whenever I show up, God was there a long time before he ever sent me. And I just think, you know, Marshall and in his life, the little window actually that I got, you know, he's raised in the church. I actually met Marshall when he was a little guy at Grundy, Virginia, at the prayer clinic. And I remember Marshall playing a little football and just that Marshall smile. And he had it then. He's developed some toughness to go with that. So yeah, you weren't near so tough back then, Marshall. I remember just throwing football with you. You weren't near so tough back then. But he developed some toughness to go with that. But, you know, by God's grace, I mean, he was raised in the church, his parents did a great job, ended up over there in Bozeman. Brother Matt spent a bunch of time really mentoring him and working him over in basketball, probably building some of that toughness into you, actually. And then Marshall spent a little bit of time in Billings, and I think it was during that time, actually, that you got immersed into Christ. And just, you know, I don't know why you're in Billings. Was it because of Brenna? Or, you know, okay. So, you know, I didn't think that was, you know, you just happened to end up there, and then everything, you know, transpired from there. Usually Marshall's got a little bit of a plan, if you know this guy. But anyways, you know, it's just, it's neat the way the Lord works. And then to be able to come back and share with you guys. And I'll just say this, man, from a distance, you know, the way the Lord works, and we have relationships with people and you love souls and you get to know them. And Marshall and I have been friends, good friends ever since. But for me to watch him and just work in the Lord, chip away, young people, you know, to grow himself, to follow up on those leads that the Lord gives, and to follow through and follow through and follow through. And then you see some of that momentum start going. Guys, this is the way the Lord works. It's always, it's leaven, isn't it? And that leaven, it's small. It's the mustard seed. It's small. Man, that thing just starts going and growing. And that's the way the Lord works. And man, what a blessing it is for us to get to have a part, to be partners with him, with the Lord and his ministry. Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I just want to read verse 13. Our theme here. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise your great and glorious name. Lord, we're just mindful of what you have done for us. That you cared about us. We ask the question, what is man that you remember him? Or the Son of Man that you are concerned about him? And Father, that ultimate concern was shown when you became man for a little while, lower than the angels. You sent Jesus here in the flesh. What he went through to live that perfect sinless life, to go to the cross, to shed his blood, to be raised from the dead, to rip apart the bonds of death and of Hades, and to ascend into heaven. To take his seat on the throne when he offered that spiritual blood in the Holy of Holies. And that now, always, living as our high priest to make intercession on our behalf. Lord, our hearts are overflowing with gratitude towards you, mindful of what you've done. And so, Lord, we take seriously then what you ask us. We're appreciative for the theme of this camp, and I ask that you be with me as I preach your word tonight, that it would be truthful in accordance with your word. We're thankful for your word of truth. Lord, that our minds would be open, our hearts would be open, and that we would, Father, be doers of the word and not just hearers. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So yeah, the particulars of my message, still got a little bit of work here. The particular title of my message is Owning and Developing Individual Faith. Now, I personally really enjoyed my pop's message today. I don't get to hear my dad preach. Well, I listen to him online some because I need it. But I don't get to see him or hear him preach much in person. But to define for us the faith of Christ, I really enjoyed that. Matter of fact, it's a perfect setup for what I get to follow up on. I was like, I just wanted to turn it over to him. Keep going. Like, preach my part too. You know, the owning and developing the individual faith. And I am excited to get to preach on this topic. You know, as we expound upon that, I am going to go back and review just from a little different angle some of what my dad was hitting there. You know, faith is interesting. It's a very encompassing topic. It's, you know, the new creation. Bill Compton was sharing that, you know, you put a couple passages from Galatians together, and this rule, what it means to be the new creation. And another passage a little earlier in Galatians says it's faith working through love. So faith really is the picture that's given to us in the scriptures. It's a very encompassing topic, and we don't have time to talk about all that tonight. But I'm just going to take a really basic approach. But I did want to differentiate. My dad already did this better than I can, but I'm going to just come back and hit it slightly different. Guys, there is a collective faith, if you will. There is the objective faith that he talked about. That faith does not change. That's the faith given by God. It's exactly once for all delivered to the saints. I actually want to turn there. Jude chapter 1. In case you get into chapter 2, you're too far. Jude chapter 1. But, you know, we could step back and we'd ask a question. How many faiths are there? Hey, you guys know the passage from Ephesians 4, right? There's one Lord. One faith. And one. That doesn't change. That faith doesn't change. Jude 1 verse 3, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Friend, that faith has been delivered. That faith, the objective truth that God has given to us, the faith of Jesus Christ as was laid out this morning. We ought to contend for that. Collectively, we've made a commitment. We are the body of Christ. We made a commitment, not just to have that sign in front of our church building, but to be the body of Christ, to stand firm on the faith, to fight for it. You know, and we, you know, it's obviously it's under attack. It's under attack, the Church of Christ, Christian Church, not to mention all the denominational stuff. Hey, this Satan's chipping away. He's waging war against the church. And so we stand for this and we fight for it. We contend earnestly for it. The devil wants to steal it however he can. He wants to suppress it. He wants to drive it underground, water it down, distort it, stretch it, whatever sort of change he can make to it. But there is the faith. The faith that's been handed down once for all to the saints. And this is important. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Guys, if we ever lose the faith, your hope victory is gone. I'll just, as a side note here, encourage you guys. Like, what if there's stuff you're struggling with, if there's sins that you're fighting through, and maybe even you're losing a little bit too, you don't ever compromise on the faith. You do that, man, you throw away your hope of victory. You hang in there, you stand firm on this, like the Lord will pull you through. But you don't ever compromise on the faith. It's worth fighting for. It's been given to us. It's a rare thing. We understand that. You know, I like the way King James says it in 2 Peter chapter 1. like precious faith. It's precious when you find brethren. It's fun to come to these and you meet other brethren. You get to interact with people. You see it again. I just saw a smile there from Sherman. It's great to see brethren that are fighting for the faith. Encouraging. It's like precious faith. You know, actually go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Jesus cares so much about this. He actually, one of the purposes of church leadership, some of the gifts that the Lord gives to the church, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he gave some as apostles and some as prophets. We know those guys, right? That's the foundation. Apostles and prophets, the foundation on which this thing's being built. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. That's what we're working together for. And so, you know, there's a collective faith that the church of Jesus Christ has. And we stand together and we're being molded and shaped and equipped and to be formed, to conform to that, the unity of that faith. But there's also an individual aspect of this. You know, I think about it. What's the song that ends with "Crown Him Lord of All"? You guys know I'm not going to sing solo, especially into the, you know, I'll save that for Mark Miller or somebody that can sing, okay? But, you know, "Crown Him Lord of All." I remember a guy in the church where I grew up, he was like, we need to change this. And he wanted to change the words to the crowned king, Lord of all, because he says Jesus already is Lord of all. He's crowned king. That's true. And that's true regardless of whether anybody acknowledges, accepts it, understands it. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is Lord of all. But isn't there still a verse that tells us, sanctify him as Lord in your heart? Like, he's Lord. But there is at some point, there's a personal responsibility now in my life for me to take Christ and sanctify him as Lord in my heart. It's the same way. The faith is here. The faith is not changing. But there's a responsibility individually for me now to buy into that. And that's the topic that I've been given tonight, is to help us consider what it takes to grow in this faith, to take ownership of it, to grab a hold of it as an individual. And so, you know, you can think about it. One time I was Bible studying with a young, actually it was a brother and sister, and we were talking about the Bible being the Word of God, and we had gotten through that, and we got into belief, and we were talking about repentance, and somewhere the lady looked at me, she said, "I believe the Bible, but I don't agree with it." I was like, I thought I misheard her. I asked her to come again, and exactly the same thing. "I believe the Bible, but I don't agree with it." And I realized what she was saying is, I can logically look at that book up there on the shelf and say, yes, the prophecies are there. Yes, it's true. Yes, it's been written. But I don't have any intention of repenting. I don't have any intention of bringing my thought processes into line with that, even though I can acknowledge from a distance that that's true. And so, individually, brother, I have to believe, for me, this is God's Word. You have to believe it for you, that this is God's Word. And there's a day coming, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, and sometimes it's good for us to have a picture in our mind. Jesus is described in the book of Revelation as one who walks among the churches, right? He's here. There's a day coming that we're all individually going to stand before that judgment seat of Christ. I don't get to stand with my wife. She doesn't get to stand with me. I'm not staying with my family. Kids, you aren't staying with your parents. All individually. We don't get to stand as a congregation. It's not going to be, okay, here, you know, hey, there's some churches, or there's some letters written to the churches for congregations, Revelation. You can read that and work through that at a congregational level. But at a personal level, At a personal level, you are going to stand individually before that judgment seat of Christ and give an account. And not going to be as a congregation in Wauseon and Lima and in Billings. Going to be you. And so it's important, guys, we grab a hold of this individually. I'm going to stand alone. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 13. Second Corinthians 13, verse 5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Now, brethren, I take this to other people and I challenge them. Hey, test yourself. Examine yourself. See if you're in the faith. And people, most of the time that I'm asking to do this, are people that think they're Christians that I know aren't. Hey, check this out. But this is written to us, isn't it? Test yourself. Examine yourself. See if you're in the faith. So we want to do that a little bit tonight. What are we talking about when we say own our faith? You know, I like the way Marshall thinks. He's very particular. He's an organized guy, and the titles of his messages, there's very specific things that he's working on. What do we mean when we say own our faith and take personal ownership of it? Is there any difference between a owner of a business and an employee? Just a little. When you own a business, you eat it, breathe it, drink it, sleep it. Because if you don't, that thing's going to go under. When you're an employee, you show up for work, you do what you're told, you walk out the door, and you forget about it until the next time you have to come back in there. A big difference between an employee and an owner of a company. It manifests itself in many ways. You know, if the business goes under, the business owner lost everything. The employee goes and gets a new job. Not much invested, not much lost. The employee doesn't usually spend much time thinking about what he or she can do to improve the business. The owner's thinking about that all the time. Always having to think and prepare for what's coming. You know, I was thinking at Montana Youth Camp. It's great. I love actually knowing some of you guys come out to camp. It's great. But you know, that Montana Youth Camp is super great opportunity. I get to work at it. I think I've, how many years? 18 years, Matt? Going? And you know what? I'll tell you the truth. I show up at youth camp and I put on my yes, sir, and I do what I'm told. And it's fun. Actually, I kind of like not being in charge. Whatever Mr. Matt says, this is the outline. Do your job. Do it. I do it. Matt eats it, breathes it, drinks it, sleeps it for a long time, basically year-round, for it to happen. There's a big difference, actually, in the staff that shows up. Hey, we do what we're told, and hopefully we do a great job. But then there's an owner perspective. Do you think some things sometimes get missed from us staff that just show up and do what we're told, but we're not really thinking of it from the perspective of an owner? Some things we miss. Some important things we could do better if we took more personal ownership in this. So, you know, my brother Matt was always interested in youth camps. He took kids to a Little Rockies Christian camp, and I never was interested in going. I was like, those guys don't tell the truth. Well, Matt went there and fought for the truth. And then he said, we got to start our own because these guys aren't going to tell the truth. So he went and started. There was something in, hey, I'm going to be all in on this. He says, how many years you been at it, Matt? 18? The difference is I show up for 1 week. He's 18. Not all those years you were all year round, but you understand what I'm saying? There's a difference. There's a difference when we take ownership of it. And so, I hate to say this. I gotta be honest about this and say this is a former brother in Christ. And it's not because he's passed on physically, but he died spiritually. But he asked a great question. Go with me to Matthew 6:33. You guys know it. Matthew 6:33. Somebody quote that for me. Seek first kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek first, right? Kingdom of God and his righteousness. And this guy asked a great question. He said, you know, seek first. Okay, that's easy to say. But he said, sometimes if you put stuff in a little negative, come at it from the negative side, complete the picture, it gets all the way through. He said, think about it this way. You know, do you seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness? If the kingdom of God were to go under today, not that God's kingdom will, it's eternal, but if the kingdom of God were to go under today, how much would you lose? Fair question. Honestly, if the answer to that question is anything other than everything, then we haven't taken ownership of this the way that God wants us to. This theme's consistent in the scriptures. When I've been memorizing the book of Colossians. When Christ, who is, Colossians chapter 3, when Christ, who is a big part of our life, is that what? No. When Christ, who is first place on Sundays and Wednesdays, doesn't say it. When Christ, who is our life, right? Christ has come to be preeminent in everything, right? But we got to be honest with ourselves about this. Have I taken ownership of this? Is this my faith? Am I bought in? You can ask the question, guys. And the guy that asked the question, it was a great question. But a few years later, some things came up, didn't go according to plan. The next thing you know, he's gone. How much did he lose? Think it's worth us thinking about how much we have invested. It's not a time to assemble on, you know, fill the pews on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Little rally here, camp there. Because these are things that are designed to help it keep the front of our mind. But it got to be everything to us. Three different times in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul speaks of my gospel. I always found that interesting. He says, when according to my gospel. Why would he say that? Why would he say it that way? Obviously, we know it had been given to him directly from the Lord, but I think there's more to it than that. Paul had taken ownership of this. How did it become his? Now, there was a time, we know Paul in his life, there's a time he was kicking against the goads, wasn't he? He ended up taking ownership of this. He thought his way through it and fought for it. He reasoned with and persuaded others. Been persecuted for it. One of the favorite lines for me in the book of Galatians, Paul says, I'll save it for a second. You know, Alexander the Great. A lot of things about Alexander the Great I admire. One time he and his guys were ready to quit on him. They're ready to retreat. You know, they never lost a battle. They were ready to quit, and Alexander rips his shirt off. He's got all sorts of battle scars. He looks at this, and he says, turn around, look at this. None on his back. He says, we always go forward. We never retreat. I like that. Do you know what Paul said? I let nobody cause trouble for me anymore. He says, I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. And I can't say that. I got a lot more to invest in this. Paul could say, my gospel. He'd taken it on personally. He fought for it. He stood for it, was persecuted for it. And what's going to take for this faith to really become yours? You got to answer that question. I can't answer it for you. But I will say this. When I read books, you guys were talking about Westerns around here a little bit today, and I like Westerns. Okay, I've read Louis L'Amour. I've read them all multiple times. And I don't know why, because if you've read one, you've read them all anyways, really. But I I'll read them again. And they're good for me unwinding books at night. Just let my brain shoo. But, so I'm not talking about that kind of book when I read it. I don't highlight, because even though I've read them multiple times, I don't get up my highlighter and highlight the Louis L'Amour books, or, you know, not quoting pages and books and chapters and verses from. But there are books that are more thinking type books. There's a book called Mindset. There's a book called Atomic Habits that I read recently. Those books I like to get out my highlighter. I like to get out my pen, and I like to put question marks by things, and I like to argue with them and say, no, you're wrong there. Don't agree with that. Hey, by the time I'm done with those books, guys, that book's mine. Whoever wrote it, hey, thanks for taking me on a journey. But by the time I'm done arguing with that and put questions mark and crossing stuff out and writing my own stuff in, it's mine. Are we that way with the scriptures? Not that we need to argue with it, but we got to argue with ourselves sometimes to get on that same page. We have the question marks there. Don't get to cross any of this out, but sometimes we got to cross some of this out. Till we get there, this is mine. Fight your way through it. Do you fight for it? I was thinking of these poor Mormon missionaries. Had a few interactions with them lately and tried to be nice and join a guy and the younger guy in the church wanted me to join him. So I was actually trying to be nice. I was like, okay, I'm just going to come in, listen, and ask some questions and kind of ask them to have an open mind. They asked me to have an open mind. Oh, okay, I'll read the Book of Mormon again. It's been a long time. Guys, I wasn't true to my word. The study ended before I had to finish it, thankfully. First and Second Nephi. The time I threw Second Nephi, I don't need to read any more of this junk. Again, I got it, okay? But I feel bad for those guys. Now, how would you like to go out there and have to... I should tell you, actually. The one guy, you know, there's the two young elders, right? And always wondered how that works. But the one guy was a little more quiet and steady. And the other guy was, you know, way up here and said something about the Dead Sea. Oh, I love the Dead Sea Scrolls. I love those, man. So somewhere in there, I figured out quickly, this one guy just didn't bother him to lie real quickly. And, you know, he was telling me that I wasn't raised in it. My family wasn't in this because a lot of Mormons, you meet them and their family. But then later, came back around, his family was in it. I thought that was interesting. So we were talking the next week. I don't know Hebrew. I said, I can get my way around Greek pretty well, but I said, I don't know Hebrew. And so the very end of the study, we were closing, he made sure to let me know that he's known Hebrew and known it since he was... You know, read the Torah in Hebrew back when he was in fifth grade. Okay. Interesting. So I they're trying to get you to take their, the testimony. I personally testify to you that these scriptures Book of Mormon is the Word of God. So next time I just open it up, I talk to my buddy. He's like, hey, how about we just ask him some questions? So next week, open up, I said, hey, I got a question for you. I said, what are the letters of the Hebrew alphabet? What do you mean? It's like, you know, you said you could read Hebrew. I'm just curious what the letters of the Hebrew alphabet are. Well, I can read them. I can't write them. Okay. Well, when we get some out to read. Well, I had a brain injury and I can't remember. It's like, don't lie to me. I said, quit lying. So you want me to believe your personal testimony? I'm saying, and you can't, you're going to sit there, guys, they have no choice. You're going to go out there and you're going to try to sell something, somebody that has zero truth in it. You can't do that without becoming a liar. So that was the end of our, I never got to prove anything to them because they just weren't interested in truth, but just flat out lying. But you know one thing I'll say about those poor Mormon missionaries? You send them out there for 2 years to fight for something that's not true. And by the time they're done fighting for it, even though it's a bunch of baloney, it's theirs. God, we got truth. We never have to be afraid of any question that comes. Well, maybe I don't know the answer right now. Don't lie. Please don't lie. If you don't know, say you don't know. And go and find the answer, because it's here. But you understand the position we're in. We can go and do this, and we never have to lie, and we're not ever afraid of any question that gets asked. Man, what an awesome opportunity. And you go fight for that, guys, it'll be yours. You start taking a stand for truth, and you have to field those questions and objections. It'll be yours. As my son Caleb was been doing a bunch of Bible studies, and he sent me a text last night and said, man, my study with Zach Armstrong, he said it finished today. So we had it out, a couple hour Bible study over the issue of immersion. And he said, I can't match scripture for scripture with you about your beliefs on baptism. He said, but I'm firm in it. And Caleb was like, how can both of those things be true? You don't have the scriptures for it, but you're firm in it. It doesn't make sense. But you know what I like about it? You're going to get a lot of those. You're going to get a lot of people that reject it. But man, by the time you go and you show those scriptures and you fight your way, this becomes yours. Your faith. Some of us gotta get out there and fight for a little bit. Best thing that ever happened to us. Go with me to Romans 14. Just driving home one more point on this being our faith. Romans 14, verse 22. That's a great chapter about some convictions you got. And Romans 14, verse 22, just sums this up. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself and what he approves. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. God wants you to get out there and wrestle with this and this become yours. I've heard my dad say, I fought hard for these convictions. You can't have them. Here, go get your own. You're going to take personal ownership of this. There's no shortcutting it. We have the faith that Mr. Wilson talked about today. Objective truth. The new covenant. Document of authority, right? All these things. That is there, and it has been given. It has been once for all delivered to the saints. But I got to grab it and make it mine. I got to take ownership of that. You know, only you know and only God knows for sure where your faith is at. Now, some of us it becomes pretty apparent that we're not very invested in this. But we know. You know, we individually, we know. And so I just challenge you, be honest. Be honest about this. Take ownership of it. And then once you have your faith, now it's a matter of developing it, growing in it. You know, the scripture tells as your faith grows, your faith is greatly enlarged. You know, how does our faith grow? I had a laptop, old laptop, a number of years ago. And those older laptops, batteries would have some problems. And so I kept to go plug it in. And there'd be this thing that would come up and say, plugged in, not charging. I thought, you know, there might be a spiritual lesson in there. You know, some of us aren't even plugged in. I think most of us that are here are probably plugged in, but some of us might not even be plugged in. Because you can't grow in your faith if you're not plugged in. And some of us are plugged in, but not charging. You know, we're some sort of spiritual life support on our battery. As long as there's somebody next to us, you know, we got some sort of life. But there's no charging that's even taking place. Going through the motions. And we got to be plugged in and be charging. How's that happen? I'm just going to hit a few particulars that it's already been hit here today. The guys did a great job in there in the shotguns. I really enjoyed those. You guys were great. But you know, the things we're going to talk about, guys, you can go through these motions. The scripture says faith comes from hearing. I like to Sue had the first message, and you can, there's a difference between, do you really hear? Are you really listening to that? You can go through the motions. Yeah, faith comes from hearing for the word. All right, I'm going to read my Bible every day. Check, check, check. You ever got done reading your Bible and say, what did I just read? I mean, maybe somebody asks you, hey, what'd you read in your Bible today? Did you read your Bible? Yep. What'd you read? Plugged in, not charging? We want to do this, don't we? We're here because we want to grow in faith. So let's be plugged in and charging. You know, are we a doer of the word? How about prayer? Go with me to Matthew chapter 17 for a second. I got to be honest with you. Prayer, something I still have plenty of room for improvement. But I found prayer particularly for me. I can be praying, and I know God hears everything. I'm always in His presence, but there's still, you know, some special conversation. It's kind of like with my wife. Yeah, we can text back and forth, but if all you ever do is text, if you don't have some special time set aside, those texts kind of start getting misunderstood. But you know, you take some special time. But in that special time, what if my wife and I were going on a date once a week? Try to do that. Friday afternoons, I would encourage you guys, if you don't do that, take your wife on a date once a week, good night thing. But what, you know, hey, during that, hey, I'm on my phone. You know, doing Facebook or answering messages from other people, or think that, or maybe she was to me, think that might be a little bothersome. Sometimes, guys, I'm talking to God, and I talk to Him, and then I find myself down this track that I was like, how'd I get here? Somewhere I followed my own thoughts and went on a little trail. I was plugged in, but not charging. It helps me to write my prayers out, honestly. Helps me stay focused on talking to the Lord. You find a way to do it yourself. But You understand what I'm saying? We can go through the motions, and more to it than that. It was hit today. I think both Mr. Wilson and Mr. Dunn hit 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Beholding is in a mirror the glory of the Lord. When you're reading the scriptures, what are you looking for? Christ. Everything else going to flow from who Jesus is, right? So, you know, when we pray, I will say one other thing. There was a few people that I have had some Bible studies with that were part of IHOP. And I don't mean the International House of Pancakes. They were International House of Prayer. And one thing I noticed about these IHOP guys is they you know, had the place in Billings, the boiler room, open 24/7, you come pray whenever you want. And these guys, you know, did some praying, but I noticed the ones I had interaction with didn't know their Bible at all. I mean, at all. Well, what are you praying about? Their prayers, guys, was purely selfish prayers. You can't pray to God without a little two-sided communication. We gotta be plugged in. I want to just show you Matthew chapter 17. Let's start in verse 14. When they came to the multitude, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic, he's very ill, for he often falls in the fire, often in the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him." Jesus answered and said, "O unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me." Jesus rebuked him, the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith." Just pause there for a second. You ever work with people that you don't really know how to help them? Guys, I do. Sometimes there's some depths of depression. Some depths of addiction. We got some serious, serious problems in our world that people have gotten into and Satan has them bound. And sometimes I find myself in a position a little bit, I honestly don't know exactly what I need to do for this person. Why? Go be like this, these disciples? Because of the littleness of your faith. Truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you say this mountain, "Move from here to there," it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. You notice a little connection? What was the problem? The problem was lack of faith, littleness of their faith wasn't enough faith. They hadn't grown in faith. You know what the solution is that Jesus puts forth here? Prayer and fasting. We want to grow in faith. Be men and women of prayer. Do you really want to grow? Are you plugged in? Do you even pray? I remember a guy named Don DeWelt came to Montana Family Camp years ago. Don DeWelt, some of you guys, I remember him actually first from that prayer clinic. And I remember him talking about sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. He said, "Some of you guys never pray for an hour in your life. How can you sing that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer?" We do have to be honest about what do we want? Do we want to grow on our faith? Are we committed to that growth? You know, I can say all day long, I want to get back into shape. And as long as I keep skipping gym days and keep running to late night Dairy Queen runs, I don't really want to get back into shape. It's the truth. I made a couple this week too, so, you know, gotta have fun with the kids at home before I leave. You know, what do I want? You know what I'm saying? We want to grow in faith, and we're going to do the things that help us grow in our faith. Hey, I was thinking, I didn't even realize this, talking to some people and sharing with them about prayer, and I was incredibly blessed. My parents became Christians before I was born. So I was raised, and from the time I was little, I actually heard my dad recently on a message say, when you were growing up, you only remember thinking about God one time. Viewing him as a and coffee cups or something. Because you know, your family never went to church, never went. Guys, I thought about God all the time. And from the time I was little, I understood and realized God cares about me. So I could go into any situation and pray about that situation. And I believed 100% God cared about me. God was going to answer those prayers. God was going to take care. I realize a lot of people do not realize that God actually has a personal interest in them. So when they're praying, it's like it's bouncing off the walls. It's like, I have a hard time. I feel like I'm just talking to myself. Guys, God cares about you. He wants you to talk to him. Grow in faith. Pray. There are a bunch of these other things. Assembly of the saints. How high of a priority is Assembly of the Saints to you? You know, it's pretty high priority, and it's camping season or fishing season or my favorite team's playing in football today. Or you know, this devil's pretty has this thing designed pretty well, guys. There's sports year-round now. You can watch it all. And if you don't have it, you can stream it. Matter of fact, you can probably still make it to Assembly and still watch your sports. Some of you do, probably. You know what I mean? Sitting in the back row, checking out the scripture passage or something like that. Anyways, I'm sorry. I'm being a little ornery. I just see it sometimes. Probably more Facebook than, hey, what passage? Oh, that's not the scripture. You know, but realistically, you know, we live amazing time. There's challenges that are like never before in history. You know, there's temptations like never before in history. But you know, God's faithful. He doesn't allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able. With that temptation, he provides a way of escape. Do you realize what we have available to us in our time? I figured out a long time ago, and you guys can encourage me and give me a little kick in the behind here to get going. But do you realize you memorize one verse a day? Who can memorize one verse, scripture, a day? Okay? That's 7 verses a week. You do that, you'll have the whole New Testament memorized in 22 years. That sounds like a lot, but that's not a lot. How long have you been a Christian? You doing that every day? You got the whole New Testament memorized in 22 years. You know what's always a challenge for me? Finding a way to figure out how to review all my old stuff. Do you realize what you got? You version. Hit the play button. Let's go. You want to get out on that half-hour walk because you want to get back into shape and start skipping the Dairy Queen and start, hey, put it on. Let's go. How about James today? I don't even need to listen to James. Every once in a while, maybe like, oh, what was that again? You can pull it out and look. You know, maybe Hebrews, like, I need a little more work and I'm just going to let it play while I'm going. You can review this thing every day. We live amazing time. You want to grow in your faith, guys? We have the opportunity to grow in our faith. My son Matthew was like trying to find some things, you know. You got social media on one side. I'll save that until I'm talking about kids and revolutionary family. But all that stuff, I was talking to Matthew the other day. I was like, he was wishing that my dad's messages were on podcast. Yeah, you know, I said, hey, you checked out Mark Miller's Inner Man? It's like, what? It's like, yeah, Intermittent. So he signed up for it. He's like, this is good. So, you know, guys, we have opportunities. You want to grow in faith? You can grow in faith. The scripture is so available to us. It's not like you have to go down and buy a scroll. Read it in the chariot on the way home. Assembly of the saints. Get out there and take some shots with some people. You know, you get out there, take shots to people, get in over your head, call for help. You start fighting for this, guys. It'll be yours. You'll grow. David Mann. Where's David? Who knows? Wait, I was talking to David for a second. Hi, David. You know, he said he learns more by studying to give a 10-minute talk. What the process he goes through studying to give that 10-minute talk than what he learns, you know, in just doing his reading. It's, hey, you start trying to teach others, you learn a lot. You ask some questions. Hey, we have opportunities to grow in faith. I just want to encourage you guys, man. You want to grow? You got an opportunity. The faith. the faith has once for all been delivered to the saints. It is available. It is right here in your grasp. Let's reach out and grab it. Let's look in the mirror and see Jesus as he is. And let him transform us. Let's take personal ownership. My gospel. When you're in a spot, you know, sometimes there's a little controversy over the Paluxy riverbed track, dinosaur human footprints, right? So, you know, that might be a tough thing. You've read all the arguments against. You might not feel confident to argue that. You know what I say? I saw those with my own eyes. I did. Nobody's ever going to convince me those weren't human footprints. I saw them. Have you seen him? I don't mean the footprints. When you can go and you can sit down eyeball to eyeball and you know because you've seen him. Take ownership, brethren, and grow in it. Thank you.
Let's take 10 minutes from right now, so that'll make it 7:50.